I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Good afternoon, and welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you happen to be visiting with us, a special welcome to you. And if you're joining us by way of the YouTube live stream, we welcome you as well. John Lowndes is on video this afternoon, and he would be happy to hear from you by offering something in the chat. And also, if you're listening in to the Cathedral audio podcast, we welcome you as well. Will you be seated for a moment, please? Just a couple of quick announcements. We're saddened this week to learn of the death of Althea Barlow. Althea moved to Windsor Court a few months ago after a short stay in hospital, and she returned to hospital last week, and unfortunately she has left us. So the funeral is going to be at Christ Church Parish Church at some point in the future, I think maybe in a couple of weeks. I'm not quite sure when that is, but as we get details, we will certainly let you know. We've also been asked to remember in our prayers Belle Thompson, who is the wife of priest Gordon Thompson. And Belle had some surgery this past week, and it went well. And so we are asked to remember her in our prayers. And just a last thing to point out, that the numbers for the hymns this evening in your bulletin are incorrect. The first one was okay, but the next two won't really help all that much. So they are correct on the hymn boards. So if when we get to them, you can just reference the numbers there. It should be hymn 22 as the next hymn and hymn 27 as the last. And is there anything else that needs announcing? The service this evening is that of evening prayer, and it continues in the prayer book on page 18. That's the maroon-colored Book of Common Prayer, page 18. Dearly beloved, the Scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. Wherefore, I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins. He pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore we beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, open thou our lips,
and our mouth shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
The Lord's name
be praised. Texts you'll find with Psalm 19 and Psalm 46, Psalm 19 on page 351, followed by Psalm 46.
There is no adversity.
first lesson is taken from Genesis chapter 48. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me here." And he said, "Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, and he could not see well. So Joseph brought them near him, he kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, I did not expect to see your face, and here God has let me see your children also. Then Joseph removed them from his father's knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right, and brought them near him. But Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the hand of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. He blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my ancestors Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, bless the boys, and in them let my name be perpetuated, and the name of my ancestors, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude on the earth." When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father. Since this one is the firstborn, put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you, Israel, will invoke blessings, saying, God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh." So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, "I am about to die, but God will be with you and will bring you again to the land of your ancestors. I now give to you one portion more than to your brothers, the portion that I took from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow." Here ends the lesson.
Thank you.
The second lesson is taken from Mark chapter 8. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat again, he went across to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They said to one another, "It is because we have no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 7. Then he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Here ends the second lesson.
Of the Apostles' Creed are on page 22 of the prayer book. As we stand, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Christ. Amen.
Then Israel said to Joseph, I am about to die, but God will be with you and will bring you again to the land of your ancestors. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In texts of the Hebrew scriptures, blessing was an important act of conferring one's family line, favor, and birthright. In Genesis, Jacob and Esau were twin brothers, you might remember, sons of Isaac. And you might remember the story of Jacob's deception. Isaac, his vision growing dim, was fooled into passing his birthright blessing to Jacob, who impersonated Esau. Now, reading the Old Testament is not always for the faint of heart, especially if you're trying to get all the family lines straight. Jacob, of course, would later be called Israel. And that's kind of the secret that you need to unlock some of these stories. Israel and Jacob were the same person. Actually, in some places in Old Testament text, he's called both things all in the same verse. The earlier history is important if one is to sort out the beginnings of the 12 tribes of Israel, the who and the how of history, the history of the people of Israel. Even then, it can be a struggle, and I must admit, I've probably forgotten perhaps more than I ever knew. Today's Genesis passage comes later from that incident with Jacob and Esau, comes later with the two sons of Joseph, the youngest son of Jacob, later Israel, who had been sold by his other brothers into slavery in Egypt. Genesis tells us that Israel had adopted the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they're brought to receive a blessing from Israel. So with Jacob, later Israel, like his father before him, now elderly and mostly blind, there's somewhat of a deja vu. This one son gets taken for the other. Manasseh was the elder and would have naturally been first. But hands get crossed, and Jacob places his right hand on Ephraim instead of Manasseh. Though he is younger, he will be greater, Israel says. In the end, it matters very little. Israel blessed them both. There would be two tribes under the house of Joseph, and the firstborn extra portion would rest on those two sons of Joseph. And you might be asking yourself the question, well, why is all that important? Well, for Christians, only in as much as this. Just as the adopted sons of Joseph, we too have been born Gentiles, outside of the family line. And we have, by grace, also been adopted into the family of God through faith. We too, as Christians, have membership in the family of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God Jesus called Father. In reading from the Gospel of Mark, the religious authorities are arguing again with Jesus. Just give us a sign. And you can almost see and hear Jesus sighing. What might be most ironic is that Jesus is the sign. He would later teach that he is the shepherd, the gate, the bread of life. And so in the boat, tensions rise as it's realized that the disciples had only one loaf of bread. Eyeing that loaf, Jesus says, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Herodians." Well, what a seemingly odd thing to say. The disciples assumed it was reference to the loaf of bread. But it doesn't appear a criticism about not bringing enough bread. Jesus says, "Do you not understand?" So what is that yeast of the Pharisees? Well, yeast is the leaven of bread. It's the part of the bread that's alive. And it would seem that we can take it in no other way than the fact that, than the point that the leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees, is their unbelief, is their constant asking for a sign. Yeast works slowly. And more importantly, if it's the wrong kind, it spoils the bread. Jesus' problem with the Pharisees was hypocrisy, pretending to be something they were not, saying one thing, doing another, pretending to care about the law, all the while more interested in the traditions than the spiritual truth. He would later say they would rather strain a gnat and swallow a camel. He would say the trappings of religion only prevent walking the narrow way. According to a 2007 Barna survey of young North Americans, 16 to 29 years old, at that time, 85% of non-churchgoers said Christians are hypocritical. 85% of non-churchgoers, that they're hypocritical, professing beliefs or opinions that they do not hold. And 47% of regular churchgoers agreed. Let's hope we're all candidates to wear the t-shirt. The t-shirt that says, "I'm just a recovering hypocrite." Since that's probably the best we can hope for. Beware. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and give thanks for being adopted as children through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the hymn, if you remember, our numbers swap, is number 22.
Now from me, all the world.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
As we kneel, let us pray. As we look toward the time of the Christian Passover, when we will celebrate our redemption through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray for penitent hearts. Almighty and everlasting God, who hatest nothing that thou hast made, and dost forgive the sins of all them that are penitent, create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of thee, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the church, and especially for David, our bishop and metropolitan. In the Anglican cycle, the province of the Anglican Church of the Congo, and Tetra, their archbishop. We pray for Anne, our acting primate, and Matthias, bishop of our companion diocese, for this cathedral church and all who minister here. Pray for the church. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably upon thy whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery, and by the tranquil operation of thy perpetual providence, carry out the work of salvation, that things which were cast down may be raised up, and that all things may return into unity through him by whom all things were made, even thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let us remember in our prayers those who have asked us to pray for them, remembering especially the world in which we live, for the many areas where there is war, violence, and unrest. Pray for those who lead the nations. Pray for those who suffer because of natural disaster, remembering people in Myanmar. Pray for the Middle East, for Russia, Ukraine, military operations in Yemen, for Afghanistan, Sudan, Haiti. And let us remember those who are on our prayer list at this cathedral, those who are being remembered on the Cathedral Prayer Network. Those we know and those whom we have forgotten. O God, our Father, we commend to thy goodness all those who are in any ways afflicted or distressed in mind, body, or estate, that it may please thee to comfort and relieve them according to their several necessities, giving them patience under their sufferings and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. And let us remember before God those who have departed this life and are at rest, especially Althea Barlow and others we may wish to name. May they rest in peace and rise in glory. And let us pray for the coming of the kingdom of God and for our promised salvation. Almighty God, we pray thee for the coming of thy kingdom of righteousness and peace. In the midst of a changing social order, may faith in thee and obedience to the teachings of thy dear Son prevail to build a new life of love in which the ills of this present world may disappear and the glad day of brother and sisterhood and mutual service may dawn. Strengthen all the agencies of thy church, which are laboring for the happiness and welfare of all people, that they may find in thee their salvation and their peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who hast given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. And we say together the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore. Amen. And the closing hymn is number 27. Thank you.